l'attachement du peuple québécois aux principes de liberté et de démocratie.
Inte heller i Australien är alla så glada åt sammankopplingen med Storbritannien. Särskilt missnöjd blev man när drottningens guvernör avskedade Gough Whitlam som premiärminister och istället tillsatte Malcolm Fraser. Drottningen var inte inblandad, men det spelade i händerna på republikanerna. Och till och med Nya Zeeland som höll de vänskapliga samväldesspelen har maorierna ett horn i sidan till drottningen. I Waitangi-fördraget som undertecknades 250 år sedan av drottning Victoria överlämnade maorierna sina landområden till Storbritannien. Drottningen medger att fördraget lämnar mycket i övrigt att önska och borde revideras. Men det satte inte stopp för protesterna. Lustigt nog var det just här där drottningen gjorde sin första officiella rundvandring 1970 som demonstranterna kom farligt nära. En kvinna slängde en blöt trasa på drottningen. Hon ryckte till men fortsatte att le som om inget hade hänt. Och trots detta har drottningen fortsatt att tro benhårt på sin ärvda roll. Hon har gjort det till tradition att närvara vid alla samväldeskonferenser. Hennes far bevistade bara de som hölls i London. Och hon ser sig själv som symbol för globalt samförstånd. För drottningen är samväldesländerna som en stor familj. De har sina problem, men de håller ihop om fara hotar.
It is essentially a family gathering. Like all the best families, we have our share of eccentricities, of impetuous and wayward youngsters, and of family disagreements. But we also have our wise uncles and aunts, and the solid, dependable family members on whom everyone relies.
Drottningens egen familj har utökats rejält under det senaste decenniet.
Dash. And you know the word you use when you're cross. Dash. It comes out quite well as a dog's name.
Zara.
Zara.
Men även om massmedierna koncentrerar sig på de yngre medlemmarna av kungafamiljen har drottningen en allt större plats i nationens hjärta. När hon firade sin 60-årsdag strömmade folkets kärlek emot henne. Drottningen har besvarat kärleken genom att verka mer avspänd ute bland folk. Den tidigare kritiken att hon var för formell och sällan log är inte längre befogad. Och hon är inte rädd för att visa att hon har humor.
It's almost exactly the same color as my dress, which is interesting. Good choice.
Det går till och med att skämta om autografskrivandet när det gäller en bordduk istället för en gästbok. Men drottningen blickar nu allt mer mot framtiden, mot nästa generation.
What's he gonna buy for his children?
Well, I don't think I'd better say it too loudly, because he might hear me, mightn't he?
Do you like being a queen?
It's a very busy life.
Yeah.
But it,
how big is your palace?
My palace is quite large. It has very long corridors to walk down it, especially if one's late.
Det ligger inte för henne att se tillbaka. Och hon är lika bekymrad som prins Charles över världen som barnen ska växa upp i.
Many of you will have heard of the greenhouse effect. And perhaps you have heard, too, about even more urgent problems caused by the pollution of our rivers and seas and the cutting down of the great forests. These problems don't affect just the countries where they are happening, and they make neighborly cooperation throughout the world a pressing necessity. With all your lives before you, I am sure you take an optimistic view of the future. You children have something to give us which is priceless. You can still look at the world with a sense of wonder and remind us grown-ups that life is wonderful and precious.
Drottningen erkände en gång att om hon hade fått välja hade hon velat bo på landet med massvis med hundar och hästar. Men vad hon än känner innerst inne säger hennes närmaste att det är föga troligt att hon abdikerar. Hon kan aldrig glömma att hon är drottning. För 40 år sedan lovade hon att viga sitt liv åt att tjäna sitt folk. Hon har regerat längre än någon annan det här århundradet. Och hittills måste man säga att hon hållit sitt löfte.
Drottning Elisabeth, jultal på juldagen 1991.
In 1952, when I first broadcast to you at Christmas, the world was a very different place to the one we live in today. Only 7 years had passed since the end of one of the most destructive wars in the history of mankind. Even the end of hostilities didn't bring the true peace for which so many had fought and died. What became known as the Cold War sustained an atmosphere of suspicion, anxiety, and fear for many years. Then, quite suddenly, everything began to change. And the changes have happened with bewildering speed. In 1989, the Berlin Wall came down. Since then, the rest of the world has watched fascinated as oppressive regimes have crumbled under popular pressure. One by one, these liberated peoples have taken the first hesitant and sometimes painful steps towards open and democratic societies. Naturally, we welcome this, and it may be that we can help them achieve their aims. But in doing that, we need to remind ourselves of the essential elements which form the bedrock of our own free way of life, so highly valued and so easily taken for granted. This can be an opportunity to reflect on our good fortune and on whether we have anything to offer by way of example to those who have recently broken free of dictatorship. We who claim to be of the free world should examine what we really mean by freedom and how we can help to ensure
But once in place, it is there to stay. There are all sorts of elements to a free society, but I believe that among the most important is the willingness of ordinary men and women to play a part in the life of their community, rather than confining themselves to their own narrow interests. The parts they play may not be major ones. Indeed, they can frequently turn out to be thankless tasks. The wonder is, though, that there are so many who are prepared to devote much of their lives, for no reward, to the service of their fellow men and women. Without their dedication, where would our churches and charities be, for instance? Without such people, many would be unable to enjoy the pleasure which the arts bring to our daily lives. Governments can encourage and support, but it is the volunteers who work away for nothing in administration or spend their weekends seeing fair play who make sport and physical recreation so worthwhile. I am constantly amazed by the generosity of donors and subscribers, great and small, who give so willingly and often towards the enjoyment of others. Without them, these voluntary organizations simply would not exist. The peoples of the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe have broken the mold of autocracy. I hope that we will be able to help them as they learn that the democracy which has replaced it depends not on political structures, but on the goodwill and the sense of responsibility of each and every citizen. It is not, of course, as simple as that. All the selfless voluntary work in the world can be wasted if it disregards the views and aspirations of others. There are any number of reasons to find fault with each other, with our governments, and with other countries. But let us not take ourselves too seriously. None of us has a monopoly of wisdom, and we must always be ready to listen to and respect other points of view. At the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in Zimbabwe this autumn, we saw an example of mutual tolerance and respect for the views of others on an international scale. Leaders of 50 nations came together to discuss the future. They met in peace, they talked freely, they listened, they found much on which to agree, and they set a new direction for the Commonwealth. I am sure that each derived strength and reassurance in the process. That was just one event in a year of massive and historic change. This time last year, we were thinking of the servicemen and women in the Gulf and of the hostages in captivity. Our prayers for their safe homecoming have largely been answered. This Christmas, we can take heart in seeing how in the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, where it has endured years of persecution and hardship, the Christian faith is once again thriving and able to spread its message of unselfishness, compassion, and tolerance. Next February, we'll see the 40th anniversary of my father's death and of my accession. Over the years, I have tried to follow my father's example and to serve you as best I can. You have given me, in return, your loyalty and your understanding, and for that I give you my heartfelt thanks. I feel the same obligation to you that I felt in 1952. With your prayers and your help, and with the love and support of my family, I shall try to serve you in the years to come. May God bless you and bring you a happy Christmas.